peasant though I am, I'm a nothing, I'm a mere serf. I deserve no sins, so they're poor. Hello, everybody. Right, so greetings, respective viewers, but welcome back to the channel. So in this video, I'm going to be asking, why have sanctions against Russia not met with a greater degree of success? And now the one thing is, I don't think anyone expected sanctions on their own to get Russia to end its illegal war of unprovoked aggression against Ukraine. And it's an enormous scale, human rights abuses, many atrocities. But sanctions are an important part of the toolkit against rogue states like the Russian Federation. But to look at the other examples of countries that have been under severe sanctions, you know, Iraq, North Korea, apartheid South Africa, sometimes not worked for decades. You know, North Korea has been under them for, say, 70 years almost. Cuba's been under them for decades. And South Africa, apartheid was brought down by several things. And that was only one of a multiplicity of strategies used against the apartheid government. So it's got to be sort of full spectrum pressure. Yes, it can make life difficult and uncomfortable for a regime, but it's seldom felled by sanctions alone. Look at Iran. I mean, come to think of it, is there a single regime which has been brought down by sanctions only? I think it has to be in concert with other means of pressurizing them. So the Russian economy has fallen by something like 10%. That's at the higher end of the estimates in 2022. And there's a recently Swiss study published by the University of Saint-Gallen and the IMD Institute in Lausanne, which said that European Union-based companies and from companies based in other G7 countries have not divested that much from Russia at all in 2022. Only 8.3% of them have pulled out. There have been some high-profile firms, maybe some of the larger ones, but some of them have withstood moral pressure to withdraw. And they said, we don't care if we were sent to moral Coventry. The profitability of the Russian market makes it too attractive. Obviously, it's a bit less lucrative than it was, but they're still making a tidy profit. And they can't turn down these handsome dividends. So anyway, some media organizations are still there, some NGOs as well. So anyway, fewer than 10% of these companies, certainly, something like 8.5%, have actually pulled out. Some have got Russian subsidiaries. It's a bit difficult to work out what's an EU company, therefore. So before the invasion, there were 1,400 EU and G7 companies, 1,400 EU companies, and a total of 2,400 G7 companies active in Russia. Remember that the G7 is the group of seven, the seven largest economies. It's the USA, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia. China? Obviously, China wouldn't pull out. France, did I mention Germany? That's the G7. It was the G8. Russia was in it, but they're out of it. Only about 120 of these companies pulled out at least one subsidiary. Some of them have pulled out a subsidiary, but left other subsidiaries still going. So there are many companies based in the USA, in the European Union operating. Japan has not sanctioned them, really. Japan's not part of that. So look at US companies. About 18% of companies with US subsidiaries operating in Russia pulled out. So the American rate of pull out has actually been higher than that of the USA. America's been quite good at this. 15% of Japanese companies have divested, which is much higher than the EU average. Now, Germany, that's been quite bad on arms, has been pretty good on this. Almost 20% of German companies withdrawn, and so on. So they're still staying there. And the sanctions aren't total. Still buying and selling some things. You know, Western countries are buying less oil and gas from Russia. They're still buying some fertilizer, food, metals. So could go further. These aren't total sanctions, but still selling things to Russia. Remember, Russia gets the great majority of its medical equipment and medicines from Western countries. Could cut off those, but people say you can't do that. That'd be immoral. That would condemn civilians to death. Well, it wouldn't be killing them. Nobody's obliged to sell things. I'm not obliged to sell you my glasses, even if you offer me £1 million. You're not obliged to sell me anything at any price. But say, come on, it'd be inhumane to do so. But I think that's the kind of thing that's reserved in case Russia launches a nuclear strike on Ukraine or something. So the sanctions haven't gone far enough. And also people say, we don't want to hurt ourselves. We do lucrative trade, hurt ourselves without particularly helping the Ukrainians. And that's why they haven't gone further. So
there's every chance that Russia's going to withstand these. Though the food price rises, there have been some sort of difficulties. It's nowhere near breaking the regime. It's nowhere near mass demonstrations on the streets of the kind that could topple the regime. There have been also workarounds. There's been re-export, things like so various white goods sold to Kazakhstan with fridges or whatever, and those are sold on to Russia, not for the fridges. So there's certain components in there that can be repurposed to put in a missile. From Armenia, that small country which is over-reliant on the Russia economically, small, landlocked, impoverished, mountainous country of only 3 million people. And Russia is a lifeline to the Armenians for arms because there's this very unequal struggle between them and Azerbaijan, which outnumbers them almost 4-1, or between them and Turkey, which outnumbers them almost 30-1. The Turks not actually fighting. So that's why they can't afford to irk the Ruskies. You know, there'd be countries like Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, sorry, not so much Kazakhstan's fairly big, Kyrgyzstan or Tajikistan, which really rely on remittances from their guest workers in Russia. And if Russia says, you've got to buy things and sell them on to us, they're going to crumple to that. So secondary sanctions have been introduced against them. You know, China could sell things on. Iran is helping them out, but with drones and so on. So it's not going to be easy. Sanctions are always leaky, and there's a quick buck to be made from sanctions busting. So in short, why are the sanctions not working? I suppose they're not extensive enough. It takes time to work it, and they are beginning to bite. Moreover, there are ways to circumvent them. So say it's difficult for Aeroflot, the Russia's main airline, the other airlines, the minor airlines probably go bust this year. They can't get the transponders and spare parts. Now, because they've lost most of their overseas destinations, they're flying domestically mostly, which means less air miles, therefore the plane's going to last longer. But nevertheless, they had several minor crashes in 2023 already. Now, it's not been catastrophic. Sometimes passengers have been killed by only two or three. A catastrophe is, I say, when the plane falls like a stone and everybody gets killed. But I think that's just a matter of time, unfortunately, before that happens. Moreover, Russia has stolen hundreds of aircraft. They're mostly leased, and they just said, well, we're keeping them and we're just not paying for them. So it's hard to see them getting back, the International Civil Aviation Authority allowing Russia back in, regaining these routes whenever the war ends. So sanctions are hurting them, but not that badly. And all these Western brands going, I mean, I think it's important psychologically, the moral isolation, to recognize that things have changed, that this time you've gone too far, that no, you can't get your luxury goods, could go rather further. There are plenty of Russian students studying abroad. So I don't perceive much desire to tighten the sanctions. There have been several rounds of sanctions, not for a couple of months, of truly smart sanctions, target individuals, not the long-suffering ordinary Russian citizens or pure dupes of state media, which is pumping out poison every single day. Anyway, so thank you for watching my channel. Please subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. That's all small letters. Callahan spelled C-A-L-L-A-G-H-A-N. Goodbye.